Okay, turn your Bibles with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We are starting a new series through the epistle of 1 John. I'm really excited about this new series. I understand as I was praying about what book the Lord wanted me to go through next, I revealed it on Tuesday night to Gordon when we got together to pray. And he says, that's exactly what we're doing in Sunday school. And I was like, well, the Lord really must want us to focus on the things that are taught in this passage of Scripture, because the Lord definitely laid it on my heart to preach through this. And I know Gordon's doing a great job in Sunday school going through this. So you know how sometimes you come up to me and you say, you know, that's what Gordon was teaching in Sunday school, and so it really was like a double barrel. Well, you're going to get the double barrel effect many times over, it seems, like in the future here. So I'm thankful for this opportunity to study God's Word. And I know with me that when I read other people that have studied the same passage of Scripture, they come up with stuff that I hadn't even thought of. That is right from the Scriptures. So God reveals these things to us, and I think it's going to be a great series as we go through this book. So let's start reading. Let's start by reading the first four verses of this passage. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Today we start a series through the epistle of 1 John. This epistle gives us a snapshot of what life was like in the Christian community in Asia Minor in the first century. During this time, churches struggled against persecution and opposition from the unbelieving world. They also had internal struggles with doctrinal errors and internal conflicts. Now, despite their struggles, we see a seriousness and commitment to the Lord and their faith in Him. This great epistle was written to help believers experience a complete joy in their Savior, to warn them not to fall into sin, and to give them assurance that they possess eternal life. This epistle was written by the Apostle John, the brother of James, late in his life while on the island of Patmos, where he was exiled by the Roman government for his faith. Now, because of John's life experiences with Jesus, actually being with him physically and personally, and with the trials of life that followed him after Jesus rose from the dead, and what he had witnessed with the other apostles, and with the church as they began to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, and how the Holy Spirit had been working in their lives and working in the church, he is thoroughly qualified to deliver a message to help all believers in their walk with Jesus Christ. So I want us to have confidence as we go into God's Word, knowing that this message will help us as believers. We will experience some of the same joys. We will experience some of the same trials as these believers did in the first century. And these passages of Scripture will apply directly to our lives. So as we start this series, I want us to ask the Lord to reveal the truths of this epistle to us and bind them in our hearts and our minds, that we may be strengthened in our inner person and experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ more and more. That is why this passage of Scripture was written. So let's go to the Lord right now and ask Him to bind these truths in our hearts, that we may be strengthened in our inner person and experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that Your Word would be sealed in our hearts, that You would burn them in our minds, that we would experience a personal joy in knowing Your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts, that as we learn about Your Son, Jesus Christ, that it would strengthen us in our inner person, that we would grow in wisdom, that You would enlighten us to the riches that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we do, that we would share this experience with one another, that we would love one another as Jesus has loved us, that He would be the centerpiece of our fellowship, that He would be the centerpiece of our relationships with each other. I thank You so much, Lord, for this time together. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we see in verse 4, this letter was written that our joy may be full. Now, understand something. The Christian walk should be a joyous event, should be a joyous thing in our lives. The Christian walk is something that should bring us great joy. Yes, there will be times of sorrow. Yes, there will be trials. But overall, we should be joyful in our hearts. We should be able to have a walk with the Lord that brings us constant joy. And as we learn more and more about Him, our joy becomes fuller. So let's take a look at this passage and see how to experience this fullness of joy. First of all, look at verse 1 again. Verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Now, first of all, fullness of joy comes by having an unwavering belief in the truths of Jesus Christ. In the truths of Jesus Christ. Now, just saying one believes in Jesus Christ doesn't mean much unless they believe the truths about Jesus Christ. Now let me explain. Some people believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Now that's not true. That's false. But they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the true Jesus. They don't believe in the real Jesus, the one that will give them real joy. They believe in a different Jesus. At the time the church was battling, false doctrine. One of those false doctrines was that Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. That He kind of just hovered over some people. He kind of just showed himself in spirit, didn't really come to them physically, okay? Now, this is why John makes it so clear that who we have seen, who we have touched, okay? He's making it very clear that Jesus Christ really came in the flesh. Why is he stressing this? I'll tell you why he's stressing this. Because it's not just believing in Jesus that brings us the joy. It's what we believe about Jesus that brings the joy. And that's what we need to understand here. We need to see that the joy comes from knowing the true Jesus and what is true about him. That is where the joy comes. Listen to one writer's explanation of this, this explanation about Jesus and how he came to this earth. John uses four verbs that describe his own experience with the incarnation. He heard it. He heard the voice of Jesus teaching with God's own authority. He heard Jesus declare to the people that their sins were forgiven. He heard the sound of leaves crunching under Jesus' feet as they walked together. He heard the sound of the whip Jesus used to drive the money changers out of the Jewish temple. He heard it. He also saw it. With his own eyes, he witnessed the many miracles Jesus performed. He had seen Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. He saw it. John had also looked at it. This word means to stare intently at something, to study it, and to contemplate what it means. John had stared in amazement at Jesus Christ after his resurrection from the grave on Easter Sunday. He gazed intently, rubbing his eyes to make sure it wasn't a hallucination or a ghost. And finally, John had touched Jesus with his own hands. He had placed his hands on Christ's shoulder. He reached out and groped at Jesus after the resurrection to make sure he wasn't seeing things. Because of John and the other apostles' experience with Christ, they stand as a reliable eyewitness to proclaim to us what they heard, what they saw, and what they touched. This is important for us to remember, that Jesus Christ really did come in the flesh. You see, because what you believe about Jesus will determine your joy, will determine your joy. So one truth we need to embrace in order to have full joy in Jesus is that he really did come in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice how John describes Jesus. He calls Jesus the Word of Life. He calls Jesus the Word of Life. Now, John called Jesus the Word in the Gospel that he wrote. In the Gospel of John, when he first starts off, he calls Jesus the Word. But here he adds, of life. So here he adds, of life. Then he calls Jesus eternal life, that which is eternal life. Paul is trying to get across and combat at the same time a false doctrine. He's trying to get across that Jesus is eternal, that which was from the beginning, he says. And he is life, and he is eternal life. Why is this so important that John has to stress that Jesus is eternal life? Well, because Satan is always trying to hinder people from believing that Jesus is the only source of eternal life. Understand that. Satan doesn't want you to believe that Jesus is the only source of eternal life. Because if you believe that, then you'll follow him and you won't be able to be deceived by him. That's why. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. Just like John calls him, the life. He is the life. But remember what Jesus said after that. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You see, there's something exclusive about Christianity, because Jesus, the Creator, the one that was from the beginning, the one that created all that we see, the one who has almighty power, who was with the Father before the beginning of time, and who will be forevermore, is the only one and the only source of eternal life. He's the only one that can give eternal life, and he is the only one that, the only source of eternal life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Some say Jesus is a way, but not the only way to eternal life. Well, they don't believe in the true Jesus and will not experience the fullness of joy that comes from really knowing him. Now, I know we're going over some basics of Christianity. I understand that. But understand, that's what's going to give us the joy. That's what's going to bind us together in joy, too. And I'll explain that a little bit later. But if you don't have the right belief in your journey with the Lord, then you're not going to reach the destination the Lord wants you to have, that fullness of joy. In 1849, a wagon train was traveling through Death Valley to follow the gold rush into California. As this particular wagon train trudged through Death Valley, the hottest place in California, they looked ahead and saw a sheet of water they all believed was Owens Lake. But it was just a mirage created by some intense heat. And the hotter they pressed on to make it to the water, the more frustrated they became. The foundation for many people's spiritual journey is no more real than a mirage. Understand that. We are on a journey with the Lord Jesus. He wants to bring us to the fullness of the knowledge of him, of Jesus, of himself. And that he wants to bring us to this fullness of joy. He wants us to experience the inheritance that he has from the Father. But we must believe the right thing about him. Okay, so this joy can happen. Now, you see, your journey with Jesus is only going to be joyful if you believe the truth about him. I see in John's portrayal of Jesus an extremely personal and real experience. That's what we need to have. We need to have a personal, real experience with Jesus Christ. John wants us to share in that. Although we can't literally touch him, we can't literally see him, we can't literally hear him, John wants us to share in that same kind of experience with him. But if we don't believe that Jesus is eternal, that he is the only source of eternal life, that he really did come in the flesh, then we can't really experience that personal relationship, that real relationship with Jesus that he wants to have us, that Jesus wants to have with us. And thereby we can't have that joy. So let's trust in him. John wants us to experience this same kind of personal experience. Now, you may say, well, I want that experience. How do I get that experience? I've never really experienced a real joy in knowing Jesus Christ. Well, believe that he is the Son of God, that he really is God, that he really did appear in the flesh to pay for our sins and really did die on the cross for our sins and really did rise again. And if you put your faith and trust in him, he promised that you would have eternal life. Now, if you know that you have eternal life from the true source of eternal life, are you going to be sad? Are you going to be down? No. You're going to be happy. You're going to have joy. You will. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever in eternity in total bliss with my Lord Jesus and share in the inheritance that he has from the Father. Yeah, I think I can be happy about that. Amen? You can too. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the true and living Jesus Christ, and you will have this joy. Now, let's look at verse 3. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now, fullness of joy comes by establishing strong relationships with one another based on our beliefs about Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. Fullness of joy comes by establishing strong relationships with one another based on beliefs about Jesus Christ. Now, true Christian fellowship is based on our beliefs about Jesus and the sharing of our experiences as we live for him. Now, a lot of the church in general is confused about what real fellowship in the Lord is. It's not just eating or doing social events together. Okay? We do a lot of eating around here, and I enjoy it. We have a nice big fellowship hall with a nice big kitchen. We have a lot of fun eating. We do social activities together. But understand something. That does not mean we are experiencing true Christian fellowship. You see, because true Christian fellowship is centered around Jesus Christ and what we believe about him. That's what binds us together. That's where the true joy of our fellowship comes from being able to share experiences with one another about our walking with Jesus Christ, by being able to say, "Hey, you know what? I asked the Lord for such and such, and he did it. I asked the Lord to help me overcome some sin in my life, and he did. He helped me." And sharing our experiences. "Hey, I had a run-in with someone at work this week, and they were kind of hostile towards me when I told them about the Lord. What do you think about that?" And you're able to share that experience with someone else that has had the same experience, and that true Christian fellowship brings joy to you. That's what we're talking about. You know, if all we're here for is to socialize and to eat together, well, we could do that at a country club. This is not a country club. This is God's church, and we are his church. And when we gather together, our fellowship is to be centered around him and what he is doing in our lives. Another observation I see about this true Christian fellowship is major differences in doctrine prevent Christian fellowship. Now, I'm talking about major differences. Now, if someone comes to our church and says, "You know, I don't really believe that Jesus came in the flesh. I don't really believe that he rose from the dead. I'm sorry, they are not going to experience a joyful fellowship here. Because they don't believe what we believe. There's too much of a major gap in their beliefs and ours to experience the true Christian fellowship. Okay? I'm not talking about little things, you know, oh, we might interpret one little text differently than another or something like that. No. I'm talking about major things like we're discussing this morning. Is Jesus eternal? Is he the only way to eternal life? If you don't believe that, your joy of fellowship is not going to be there in this fellowship because that's what we believe. So it's important that we see that. Major differences in doctrine will prevent true Christian fellowship. It really will. Another observation I see is our joy is made complete as we share our experience with Jesus, with each other. Notice that John is saying, hey, I'm telling you all this so that you can share in the joy that I have in Jesus Christ. So that we can share together in this fellowship centered around Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying all this stuff. That's why he's trying to make clear the doctrine about Jesus. Because he really wants everybody to share in this joyful fellowship. Okay? That's what he wants. And so our joy is made complete as we share. So he was wanting to share with them to complete his joy as well. Now this joy cannot be fully experienced alone. That's another. Why is the fellowship so important to this joy? Because our joy cannot really be fulfilled or be fully experienced by ourselves. We need to be a part of a fellowship of believers that have Jesus Christ as the center of their lives. We need that. Because without it, without being able to share with others, our joy can't be fully experienced. So God created us this way so that we would have to share with each other our faith and be able to really know what it means to experience the joy of knowing him with each other. Now, this joy cannot be found in other social organizations. If you can find the same kind of joy that you're experiencing here by going to a baseball game with all your buddies, by going to a camping trip with all your buddies, by going to a fishing, maybe I won't preach on fishing because I love fishing. No, maybe a fishing expedition with all your buddies. If you can get the same joy just doing that, that you get with the church that you're in, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because the thing that separates us from just any other social event that you go to or social things you do is that Jesus is with us during our times together. That's what Jesus said. Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there will I be also. That should make a difference in your experience as you fellowship with other believers. And it should bring a full joy that you can't find just by going to the ball game with someone that doesn't know Jesus. Okay? Understand that. That's what we need to see. This joy cannot be found in other social organizations. Our church should be a place where we come together to share our personal experiences with Jesus and to exhort one another in the truths we know about him. Our fellowship should be a source of great joy for us because of the one who it is centered around, Jesus Christ. Now, let me give an example. Someone just recently said to me that they were so grateful for our church family because in many ways they felt closer to the folks in our church family than they did with, you know, their regular family. Okay? Now, I understand that feeling. I understand that feeling because we are bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And because of that close relationship, because of the closeness that we have in the Holy Spirit, it should feel that way. It should feel like that. There should be this closeness that we feel, a closeness of family that we feel with one another as a body of believers. Okay? That should be there. This is because we share in someone that binds us together as spiritual brothers and sisters. And we gain joy as we share our lives together. I must admit that I enjoy being around believers. I enjoy doing things with them. I enjoy the things that I like to do even outside the church. I enjoy doing them with believers. Why? Because of that closeness I have in the Holy Spirit with them. Now that's what we need to remember. That's what true Christian fellowship is. And that's where the joy comes from. So if we want fullness of joy in our lives, we must hold fast the truths about Jesus Christ. We must remember that He is eternal, that He is the source of eternal life, that through His death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life. Because we have asked Him to forgive us of our sins, and He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And as we share our experiences with the Lord, with each other, we are in true fellowship together, and that joy is increased in our lives more and more. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full.